It's business made simple with Bizval, exclusively on In Season.
Good morning, Graham. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Saki. I hope you're doing well. You're looking bright and chirpy this morning. I think it must be the waves rolling in over Musenberg.
I wish I could surf at this point.
I would too. Maybe we should do the next show from the beach or something.
That would be amazing.
It's great to be back.
It's good to have you. And I can see that you're not alone. We've got a guest. Who are we talking to today?
Fantastic. So I'll give him a chance to introduce himself just now. But I think today's focus is slightly different. We've had a lot of, let's call it, high flyer and these entrepreneurs. And sometimes the reality is entrepreneurship is not always about that. Yes, we need to have people who like wildly successful. But for the most part, entrepreneurship is, you know, a much more difficult journey. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be talking to Jabu Nyandoro. He's the owner of JB Cleaning Services. And there's a backstory to Jabu, so I just want to share that, how we came to meet and why I asked him on the show before we kind of give him the spotlight. But when I first moved to Cape Town, it was over 10 years ago, my wife and I used to grab a coffee date at a coffee shop in Westlake called Green Beans.
Yeah.
And our regular waiter there was Jabu. And Jabu was always, he always recognized us. He was always friendly and approachable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back 10 years, we struck up a bit of a friendship. And he would share his story about how he left Zimbabwe in 2009. And, you know, he had this dream to start his own business. He had his own business in Zimbabwe. I'm not going to steal his whole story from him.
Yeah.
And how he wanted to start his own business in South Africa one day. And at that stage, he was waitering at Green Beans. Mm-hmm. But we lost touch over the last few years. Green Beans, unfortunately, closed down during COVID. And out of the blue, we bumped into each other a few weeks ago. We were out for dinner at a local steakhouse. And who did I see but Jabu again.
Yeah.
So, and that's where it gets interesting, because at that point I said, oh, okay, well, you're waitering now. And like, what else is happening? Mm-hmm. And he shared his story, how he had started JB Cleaning. And he was now waitering in the evenings, you know, as an additional night job, while he's trying to build his business and get that up and going.
Wow.
Out of the blue, you know, maybe it was God's inspiration. Mm. You know, we decided it would be great to get him in front of the mic to share a bit of his story about his background in Zimbabwe, moving to South Africa, you know, some of the challenges and successes of building a life and a business as an immigrant, and how his faith has played a role in that. So, you know, it's his first time on radio. So please take it easy on him, Sake. But without further ado, I mean, you know, welcome to you, Jabu. And yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Actually,
it's a
my full name is Njabulo Nyandoro. But you know, when I came here, people struggled with my name.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, Jabu, Jabu, Jabu. So
I've
abandoned my real name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the company, it's a JB Cleaning Concept.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pleasure to have you here. It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Yeah, so Jabu, I mean, I think at the end of the day, as we chatted beforehand, you know, it's a conversation we're having. So, mm-hmm. you know, feel free to share your heart, and we're going to ask you a few questions. But as you said, you know, your business is JB Cleaning Services. So why don't you maybe just tell us a little bit about who's Jabu? You know, so tell us about, you know, you, your family, a little bit about, you know, JB Cleaning Services, what you guys do. And then we're going to talk a little bit about your story after that. So, yeah, maybe just a little bit of a deeper introduction to yourself.
Yes, I'm Jabu. I'm actually turning 45 on the 31st of May.
Wow.
I've got family, wife, Tafadzwa, kids, a boy. Jabu Jr. is actually Jabu Cristiano Nyandoro, because he's a bit of a soccer fanatic. He plays soccer. He's grade 6 at Fishhook Primary. Then the little one is in grade 1, Kunashe.
Mm.
And I'm into cleaning business, JB Cleaning Concept. So I do from mobile car wash. I go into people's homes. If you've got your car, I wash cars. I clean cars. I also do upholstery and carpets cleaning for B&Bs, for offices, for churches, everything, just cleaning.
Mm.
So that's what I'm all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Love that. He's got a brief man, hey?
Hey,
he's
I tell
not
you.
A man of many words.
Yeah.
So, Jabu, I mean, maybe we can, and we'll get a bit about your faith journey just now as well. So, something I forgot to mention is we actually bumped into Jabu and his family. We were attending Common Ground Church in South Penn for a while, and we actually bumped into him again there. So, you know, all these sort of connections. But Jabu, you're originally from Zimbabwe.
Yes.
You know, can you maybe share a little bit about your upbringing in Zimbabwe, growing up there, and you know when and why you moved to South Africa?
Yeah, I grew up in a small town called Kwekwe. It's in the heart of Zimbabwe, a small mining town. So I went to school there, and as I grew up, I had a passion for cleaning. That's where I started my cleaning business. Yeah, I started cleaning people's houses, and I also had a nursery from home. So I was doing this landscaping or doing flowers for events. I've always been an entrepreneur, and also I played in a jazz band. So it was that, and also growing up in a family church, I've always been a Christian all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 2009, there was a great of people moving down here, you know, with the economy and things like that. That's when I came to South Africa, because everyone my age that time was just going abroad, overseas, South Africa, Australia, everywhere. So that's when I came, 2009.
Yeah. Can you talk a bit about that decision to leave home? You know, I mean, I guess to leave the country of your birth and that. You know, so on the one hand, it must have been quite difficult, but on the other hand, there was a lot of adversity and challenge at the time. So emotionally, you know, talk a bit about that process of actually deciding to say, "Oh, I'm going to go and start roots somewhere else."
Yeah, that was not an easy decision, you know, that the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
But you know what gave me hope was you would see people that would have left maybe a year, they come back, they've invested in some things.
Yeah.
There was at least, you know, the grass is always greener from afar.
Mm.
So people who had crossed the borders, no, come guys, it's better. So that's how I came.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But you know, as you arrive, it's not as you expect. Yeah, the beginning is always tough.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. So what were some of those challenges? You know, when you came here, you had an expectation. I think when we were chatting the other day, Your original plan was to come here for a short period of time.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can just share what your original plan was coming to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And what were some of those challenges that you faced, you know, be it in terms of establishing relationships or even trying to find a job. You know, if you think back to those early days, when was it 15, 16 years ago almost?
Sure.
You know, what were some of those hard things you had to experience?
Yeah, because originally the plan was just maybe you come for a year, invest, because I've always wanted to invest in my business. So the initial plan was to come, buy equipment, then go back. But when you come now, just to establish yourself, to normalize your stay, it's not easy.
Sure.
Fitting in, even if you're in the same country, you move to another town, it's new people, new languages, new culture, everything is totally different. So we thought it was going to be easy, it was going to be a walk in the park, but just for you to settle, it was a bit difficult.
Sure.
So you find yourself now, you are struggling, you can't even open a bank account, you need to formalize like your permits, things like that.
Mm.
So it took a bit longer than I expected. So yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you find it economically? You know, I mean, so, you're a new country, you obviously didn't have a lot of savings in that you could bring along with you, you know, so you had this idea of starting your business back then, but I seem, you know, you found it hard and you had to kind of find an alternative way to make a living. So, you know, how did you go from coming to the country full of hope, finding it quite difficult, and then kind of, you know, for a period you almost had to put the business on the back burner? Maybe just talk us through a bit of that time.
So that time it was actually hard, because you would like be pleading for anything. even the hard jobs, construction, something that you've never done. But eventually with time, you know, time heals everything. That's when we realized there was a route to the waitering. I got a waitering job. So from then I just fit into the industry. And with being a waiter, you meet a lot of different people every day, influential people, and also being a part of Christian groups, going to church. Initially, I was with my first church when I came here in Komiki. It was Calvary Chapel. And also at that time, I was playing for the worship team. So it got better and better. So I ended up at Common Ground. So the waitering took the struggle and the pain away.
Yeah,
for that moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Jabu, at that stage, I mean, I think in those early days, you didn't have kids yet. Did you meet your wife in South Africa, or had you already met her in Zimbabwe
We had already met in Zimbabwe, boyfriend, girlfriend thing, but eventually we got married in South Africa. So, yeah, at first it was easy, but now with the family, you've got that thing of wanting to start your business. You've got family,
So those were tough, and I guess there were some times where you had to, you know, all of a sudden you weren't a bachelor anymore, and you had to you had to take responsibility, and things got serious, right?
Yeah. Responsibility, family responsibility. I would say it's nice, but it's the hardest thing.
Yeah.
And like when you're alone, you don't think about anything. It's all about you. Even if you're not gonna eat, it's not gonna pay you. You can just go get something for yourself.
Yeah.
You don't worry, and rentals, things like that. Everything is cheap when you're alone. Yeah, you don't worry about anything. But when you have to worry for 2-3 other people, then it's difficult.
So going back to the waitering, I mean, and, you know, I think sadly in South Africa, waitering is often seen as like the sort of, you know, job you get as a kind of part-time thing. You know, you go to other countries overseas and, you know, waitering is like a, you know, it's considered a profession. You know, some people are lifetime waiters. That's what they do. But, you know, can you maybe just share some of the lessons that you learned being a waiter? You know, you obviously somebody who had already started an own business, shut that down. You know, you had been in a jazz band, so you'd been a rock star, you'd been all those things.
Yeah.
But going into the world of waitering, what did you learn in waiting? What are some of the lessons besides meeting people? You know, what are the key things you took out of that?
The biggest thing that I would say I learned from the hospitality waitering industry is service and detail, to be strict with detail, everything. There are no shortcuts, and when someone expects to get something, they expect it the way it should be. So even when you are dealing with your business, like I'm cleaning, if I'm to go to clean someone's house, they expect it to be clean. There are no shortcuts.
Yeah.
It has to be the way it's supposed to be. So that's the biggest lesson. And it also teaches you that if you're in business, no matter what, but customer is king. Sometimes the customer might seem to be not, but you just have to please the customer. It's not about you. So it improves your service. Like some other people we have never been through that route, maybe they'll do shortcuts they want, but detail is the most important thing.
Sure, that's amazing.
And what about accountability? You know, so you're a waiter, and the kitchen team messes up, or they put the wrong order, or whatever. You know, so you often, I guess, bear the brunt of the frustrated or angry customer. You know, so what about, you know, what did that teach you? I mean, about whether it's taking accountability or not making excuses. What were some of the things you learned from those kind of experiences?
Yeah, like you say, not making excuses. Just if there is a problem, you just have to accept it and you just have to fix it. I come to your house, I clean your house, you complain or send you photos. This was not, I mustn't like try to clear myself. I have to come back, make sure I get it right till you are happy. Sure. Or I have to pay you back if you're not happy. That's what happened. So, yeah, the service part is the most important. So,
I think we call to live a life of service. You know, we talk about servant leadership and that. And, you know, that's why, you know, I always encourage, like my kids, you know, I'd love them to have a waitering job when they can, you know, because it's a way to teach them about life, to serving others, taking ownership and responsibility. And, you know, it's funny, you go to a restaurant and the food can be spectacular, but if the service is poor, you have a bad experience. The food can be average, and if the service is great, you have a wonderful experience. You know, so I think there's a lot of lessons to be taken out of that into life and into business. So Jabi, I'm going to ask you, I mean, maybe I'll ask this, I always ask this when we talk about people in the service industry, share maybe a tale, and if you can't think of it, it's fine, but your sort of craziest or most horror story as a waiter. I mean, what can you think of that on the spot? I'm putting you on the spot.
I can't. I'm trying, but craziest story. Yeah, you get some people, you know, that will always moan and complain. You know, you just have to be humble.
Sure. Yeah.
Some people, they always, So.
And I think that also speaks on one's character, you know, when you're serving a customer who's had an off day and you just have to be at your best.
At your best.
Nice.
So, Jabu, I'm going to move on a little bit from there. So, you've been waitering now for a few years, and, you know, at what point did you decide, you're going to try to start your own business again? You know, at this stage now, you've married, you've got, you know, a couple of young kids already, you know, so at which point did you decide, I want to, you know, reignite that sort of entrepreneurial passion that you've had?
I've always had, but, you know, working with my colleagues, I've always told them, no, I've bought this machine, I've sent home. But some of my colleagues will tell me, why don't you just start business here in South Africa? I said, but for me at that moment, it seems like impossible. Mm-hmm. But then eventually came COVID. I'd started another job somewhere, so I got laid off that time of COVID. So when COVID struck, I just bought a small wet and dry over machine, and I started cleaning people's cars, where I was telling people bringing their cars where I stayed, or even in town, just approaching people. You know, I'm that person who is not shy.
Yeah.
So I was just approaching, can I watch your car, 50 rand? Then from there, that's when I would say I started 2020 here in South Africa. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It started like, you know, it's difficult to start. And for you, you have to be... To have like a shock, they're shock absorbers, something like that, because it's not a walk in the park to start. But I just started with faith, 2020.
So it was that crisis actually of COVID, which, you know, being made redundant and out of necessity having to find, you know, at that stage, as you say, it wasn't that you could go and just live on 2 minute noodles for on your own for the week. You know, you had a family to feed, you had kids probably getting towards school-going age and all those kind of things. So can you maybe just share a little bit about, you know, what were some of the hardest times of starting your business there again? You know, as you say, you were confident, you went out and you tried to make a plan, but what were some of the prejudices you faced? What were some of the challenges you experienced while, like, starting to get your business going? And again, we were post-COVID, right? So maybe that helped. Maybe people wanted things to be clean and sanitary and all of those sorts of things. But maybe just share some of those early days of restarting your business.
Yeah, the biggest challenge is, you know, you can't access a loan from a bank. There's already competition in the market. There are people that are already known, that are established.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the right equipment. No one knows you. Like business, sometimes you might advertise, but the thing with business takes time, and it's the word of mouth that's really spreads. So beginning in the first, it was difficult. Maybe you want to go and clean, but you don't have the right equipment. You need to hire equipment. You need maybe extra people. You need to pay those people, and you've got a family, and already you are not established. So it's really hard. And if you are not strong, you would wake up the following day quitting or going back to employment. So building a name, and for people to know you, even if people know you, they're not just gonna come and offer you to clean for them or what, because you're not tried and tested. They don't know this guy, is he gonna do? But once you start doing for people and people know you, that's how you pick up. But it was a big struggle for me, but I just had faith and I just soldiered on, but it was not easy. I would say maybe if you take my colleagues, my friends, people, anyone else, it's a few percentage, maybe 10% would soldier on. Mm. Well, sometimes there's no work. You can't cry on anyone. There's no work. You advertise, but no one. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you touched on that, and I think it's a point worth kind of focusing on a little bit. You know, you've spoken a bit about your faith, and, you know, what role has that faith played in your business journey? So maybe the faith and the community and the church around you, you know, how's that helped you, you know, during the time of, you know, getting your business going and through those tough times?
I think the faith has played a major role and has made me to keep on focusing on the main thing, because like at Common Ground where I go, every Wednesday, that time people were not meeting in churches, but we always had our own home groups. Mm. So everyone, seems like at that time, COVID was affecting everyone. Everyone had their own problems. I would say the whole group, maybe one or two people, but everyone. Mm. So it was serious prayer, every time praying for something. And yeah, we kept on praying just to keep you focused.
Yeah.
But maybe if I was not attending a prayer group, I didn't have any faith, just listen to an ordinary person, maybe I would have stopped and say, but sure. We just kept praying and praying and praying and praying.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. But the results, sometimes they even come when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what kept me going. But yeah, because, and sometimes there's nothing for you. Like I'd lost that job, and the way I wanted to work at that place, it was like when I got that job, the moment I was laid off, because I was still on contract, COVID came, was laid off. Then I just, I didn't want anything to do now with waitering, because I'd got the job that I wanted, that I've always wanted for a long time, to work at that particular place. Then I get laid off and my spirit was down.
Mm,
so, that's when now I said, no, this is the time for me to do my thing. I don't want to work for anyone. I just need to focus on JB Cleaning Concept.
Sure.
It will work.
It will work.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm just keeping you half an eye on the time. And it's amazing. I said to Jobby, this half an hour is going to go quickly.
Yeah.
And we've got a few minutes left. So I want to maybe just touch on two quick things quickly. So, you know, as I said, we met again, you waitering in the evenings. Okay.
Yes.
So, can you maybe just share quickly? I mean, you've gone back to waiter again in the evenings. Okay, you're building your business, but still, cash flow is always tough. So that decision to go back and take on a second job while you're building your business, why did you make that decision?
Mm.
And what are some of the challenges with that? You know, because obviously you're not at home necessarily in the evenings with your kids and your family, and that's a just talk us through the thought process there, and why have you had to make that choice right now?
Yeah, that choice, you know, it's like now I was in business. Business seems to be, it's okay, at least I could survive on it. But like last year, you saw this business is usually busy, summertime.
Okay.
So I ended up seeing that, most of the time when it's winter, I've got nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you work hard, but then whatever you've worked hard for, come winter, the winter like last year, it was a bit longer than most winter seasons.
Mm. Mm.
So, like I said before, I don't have access to loans. I don't have that kind of backup. So it just happened that at school where my son goes, I met this guy who's the general manager where I am right now.
Mm.
So as we were talking, we just got to speak, where you work? And I tell him, I said, no, I've been in the industry for a longer time, but now maybe 3 or 4 years I haven't been. But I'd love to if there's opportunity, but especially only nights, such that during the day I concentrate with my cleaning.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes winter things are really, really quiet. So I just need to cushion on myself. I don't want to reach a point where I become desperate, you see. So that place that I am at the moment, when it's cold like this, it's a bit busy. So I don't have to worry about as I build. And also, one thing with me, wherever I've worked in the hospitality, I'm very good with making friends, talking to customers.
Networking,
so I knew networking now, because now I'm sharing on Facebook, I'm sharing everywhere. But I knew if I also go back there, I get to meet some of my old people, tell them, because I couldn't see some of the people, tell them what I'm doing at the moment. So I just say, no, let me try it and see how it goes. Till I know that now the business alone can support its...
Yeah,
I mean, it's those waves, right? I mean, we look out and we see the waves in Musenberg, you know, and that seasonality. And I think, you know, it's amazing how those doors open. You've been faithful. You've been in prayer. You know, a lot of the time we think these are chance meetings with people. But I think, you know, these people get placed in our lives to open up doors and that, you know. And also, you know, you're being proactive. You're not sitting waiting. Oh, it's quiet winter. You're thinking, how do I plan ahead? You know, and as I say, you gives you the opportunity to give your kids a little bit extra or whatever the case might be. I think you were sharing how your son plays football for Fishhook FC. You know, he's the next Ronaldo by the sounds of things. But so it's great. I mean, I think maybe just one last question. I'm keeping an eye on the clock here. Is Jabu like, you know? If you could give anyone listening today, I appreciate you shared, you know, as an immigrant, it's hard. We take it for granted, you know, you can go and get a loan from a bank. But as a immigrant in the country, you can't necessarily do that. Even opening a bank account is difficult. But what advice would you give to anybody who's listening, who's got a dream, who wants to start their own business today? What is the one thing you would say to them?
What I would say, if you know, deep down in your heart, you want to do something. You might ask advice from people. Some people might discourage you. Some people might have their own views. But if you know this is what you want, you just have to do it. And you don't have to wait, like to say, I need to get machines, I need to get a car, I need to get whatever you need for that business. Because sometimes that will never happen. But once you start, once you put in the energy, the power, the love, you do it from your heart, everything will meet you on the way. Things will start opening up, opportunities, things that like that will come. But the most important thing is to start.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the most difficult and that's the most important. If you don't start, it will be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years sitting.
Mm.
But if you start, you pray about it, you keep your faith, you remain focused, you do things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to be honest when you do your job. Do it from the heart. Yeah. You never know who you're doing the job for. So, especially if it's.
Awesome.
I love that. Listen, you are an inspiration to many that are listening right now. And one of those is Declutter Lady, I believe that might be a business, but this message says, thank you so much for this. I've started my business, starting doing free work first. My business is now picking up by word of mouth, as you mentioned earlier on. I can only give God the glory. I can relate to Jabu. Wow, amazing. May God continue to bless you, Jabu, and your business. Saying this is such an inspiration, and it is.
Thank you very much.
It is. Yeah. Thank you for coming through, and we wish you, of course, all the best and success with the JB Cleaning Service. However, though, for those who are listening, how can they get in touch with you if they want to find out more about your services?
If you go on Business Google, if you just Google Cleaning Services Fishhook, the one that says JB Cleaning Concept, and you can get hold of me on WhatsApp 07-888-00-298. Sometimes, you know, as I'm doing waitering, I'm doing a lot of things. Sometimes I don't respond to phone, but whenever I get the chance, if you send me a WhatsApp, I'll always get time for you. So 07-888-00-298.
Fantastic.
JB Cleaning Concept.
Facebook, perhaps?
Facebook, yes. Facebook, I'm using my name, Jabulo Nyandoro, N-J-A-B-U-L-O Nyandoro.
Yeah.
You find me there and, yeah, I need work.
You're a social media celebrity by the sounds of things.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Sake, and I really appreciate it. It's an honor to have such an opportunity to come and share my story.
It's a pleasure. I mean, great.
I tell you, I'm actually getting quite emotional now. You know, I mean, it's just so wonderful to... you know, as you say, you speak from the heart, and to CCFM as well for giving us this platform to share these kind of stories. You know, it's not just about theory and, you know, the science of business. This is real business. So,
exactly.
Jabu, thank you, and Sakye, thank you as well.
Thank you. Till next time, it's BizVal.
Thank you.
It's business made simple with BizVal, exclusively on In Season.